This is Cave Scott Allen of otico.com.
This is Kevin Dente.
This is John Galloway.
This is Scott Kuhn from lazycoder.com.
Hello and welcome to Herding Code. We are at NDC Oslo. I'm talking to James Mickens, and I very as well as everyone else very much enjoyed your talk on security last night.
Thanks.
Although it did convince me that all is lost.
That was actually the goal of the talk.
Okay.
So I was actively hoping to crush some souls there today or yesterday. So I wish I could tell people that it gets better. It doesn't get better.
It's so, just all downhill.
So just listen to Danzig, I guess, is my big piece of advice.
I was surprised. I was talking to somebody else. It's effective communication when all three of your points, I believe, came across. I think I remember them all. So there's definitely Bitcoin is not a good place for all my savings, and I should stop putting all my money in Bitcoin.
Yeah, definitely. Unless you want to grow up to be poor.
Okay.
Which is a dream that some young people implicitly have and they don't fully realize that.
Right.
But yeah, I would not be investing in the Bitcoin right now.
Okay. Yeah. So more like some of the other digital currencies.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Dogecoin is totally legit. So, I can't see any problems happening with that.
Right.
Also, tiny decorative plates are also a good investment.
Right. Or Beanie Babies. I don't know if those are...
Yeah, still... those things are coming back.
Okay.
Back,
Good.
These things move in like a sine wave.
Yeah.
So...
Okay, but... Why wouldn't I put all my money in Bitcoin?
So a couple of reasons. So first of all, you just got to diversify in general.
Right,
so that's just sort of like general, get your football off my lawn. Yeah, you got to diversify those football.
Right.
And second of all, what a lot of people don't realize is that Bitcoin is essentially a commodity. It's not a currency. Mm. And so what that means is that let me tell you why by way of anecdote. So I have a lot of friends who watch CNBC or these financial shows, and they say, James, I want to start investing in gold. I hear that inflation's going, let's invest in gold. And I say, do you think you can beat Goldman Sachs in the gold market? Do you think you can beat JP Morgan in the gold market? These people have dudes standing outside the mines looking and seeing
That's
what's going
they
on.
Do. That's They're right. The gold guy.
Exactly. Hanging out by the Federal Reserve, paying off the doormans. I assume the Federal Reserve has a doorman, right? But, the point is that
He's
when
probably
you...
got a monocle and a top hat. I'm
oh, totally.
Guessing.
Like Mr. Peanut, basically.
Right.
Yeah, so the point is that if you're trying to invest in stuff like commodities, you're almost certainly going to lose money.
Right.
And Bitcoin is like a hyper commodity.
Got it.
Basically. And it's driven a lot by sort of day-to-day sentiment about, have people recently lost a bunch of Bitcoins from an exchange recently.
Right, is pretty much every day.
Which is basically all the time.
Yeah.
It's like even right now, I think like 18 exchanges just closed. And so it's actually not a stable place to put money. And so what people often do is they jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon when prices happen to be swinging up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, this is totally great. What you got to realize is that once you have realized that the market's going up, all the smart money is taking their money out because they know that they're going to, sell when the price is high. And so I think what ends up happening is that we're all nerds. We've seen Star Wars multiple times,
mm-hmm.
And we think, this is so cool, a technology that – is money, but also technology. It's combining all my favorite things.
Yeah, yeah.
And it obviously must be a good idea. And it's actually not.
Okay.
And so, I just advise people to literally print your money and then put it underneath your mattress before investing in it. I mean, don't do that either.
Don't
I would
print
argue
money?
That's,
I should not print money.
Well, print money in the sense you go to the ATM, right?
Oh,
it prints money for you.
Yeah.
So thank you for clarifying that. There could be some listeners from the 17th century right now trying to figure out what's going on.
So speaking of the 17th century, you were also saying that the legal system is not really going to help out here.
Right.
And Thomas Jefferson specifically is not really equipped to
That's
help
right.
us.
Great guy. Went to college with him. He was in my fraternity. I think the challenge is that a lot of the judges and lawyers, they're all sort of sympathetic at a high level to technology, but many of them are very far removed from the day-to-days and how it works. And so what ends up happening a lot is that, at least in the American legal system, a lot of times people try to argue by precedent and by analogy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're actually entering into a technology zone where, precedents and analogies don't always work.
Right.
And so, these new technologies come up and, it's like emojis. It's like those just didn't exist. And so it's let's say I post an emoji that you don't like. on your Facebook wall, and then you sue me because you felt like you were put in an uncomfortable place by my emoji. So what's the court going to do? Well, I mean, you know, based on Blackwell versus Blackwell in the 18th century, which involved, you know, someone like a telegram or something like that, emojis are clearly like telegrams. It's like, no, they're not. Like, emojis are emojis. Yeah. I mean, they should be destroyed, but they exist. And they're this thing in the world.
Or used to write books. I don't know if you've seen this, but now we can write entire books in emojis.
Yeah, I think the thing about the emoji book, and I just vomited a little bit when I said that, is that I feel like I may be making that transition whereby I no longer want to identify with youth culture, which seems kind of problematic. Because, you know, like when I was growing up, I was like, you know, listening to rock music and stuff like that. And all the old people were like, I don't understand what's going on with, you know, those fancy dance music you listen to. And I'm like, I'm the future, you're the past, old man. You know, but now I see these books that are written in emoji, and I'm like, man.
I don't want to be part of your future.
Yeah, this could be the decline of Western civilization. Like, my generation was fine. But these kids,
we were the last good generation.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we didn't win World War II, but I mean, you know, we, like, we knew people who...
At least didn't screw up with emojis.
That's right, that's right.
So it's kind of this decline from, like, you know, save the world from destruction, and then down to, like... making books out of smiley faces.
Exactly. Yeah, and I love it that there are, like, standards committees that have to sit around and think about, like, what should the code points be for, like, the dragon with one tear emoji or things like that.
Or the pile of poo. Like, who was the guy that's like, honey, I nailed it today. I got it ratified.
Yeah, it's got to be a prime number, that code point.
Who knows? Wow. So, and then also you were saying that maybe Thomas Jefferson wouldn't really understand something like an iPhone.
No, I mean, this is like what I was saying in my talk. Like, people want, like, I get it. Like, the Founding Fathers had a lot of great ideas. But if you were to bring almost anything modern to someone from Thomas Jefferson's time, they would just freak out and try to call the police or what constables, whatever constables, they had back then.
Right, get their blunderbuss or something.
Yeah, exactly. Get a cudgel and head to the square and whatever happened in old and colonial times.
Put me in the stocks, I think.
Yeah, because what I find so funny about these appeals to Thomas Jefferson is that we all know old people in our personal life.
Is that a logical fallacy, appeal to Thomas Jefferson?
It should be, actually. That's right. It's like, yeah, reductio ad absurdium or whatever, reductio ad what would Thomas Jefferson do? Yeah, and so it's like, when my smartphone breaks, like, what's the last thing that I do, right? The last thing that I do is go to an old person, be like, what do you think about this? How would you fix this smartphone? No one ever. Like, no one does that. And so it's just so funny to me that we actually have old people in our lives right now who are closer to modernity than Thomas Jefferson would be, but we never consult them on technology matters. And yet somehow it's like integer overflow. It's like, once you go back, like, far enough, it's like, oh, maybe this person does know what they're talking about. And of course they would just freak out. I mean, there's, like, all these documentaries where, you know, it's like the first time that, like, a tribe in the Amazon has seen, like, a television or whatever. And so what do? They're never like, oh, intuitive. Yeah, this must be how the volume works. They're like, kill it with fire. Yeah. This just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And so that's, of course, what Thomas Jefferson would do. It's, I mean, he's going to pass out immediately and then declare war on it.
Wow. Yeah, so there's the legal system's not going to help me. And the Bitcoins are not going to help me. And then the Internet of Things is also out to get me.
Yeah. The Internet of Things, it's rough because, you know, so I picked these topics for my talks knowing that, like, 10% of the audience is going to be laughing with secret, like, I hate this. I hate all of it, you know? And so the Internet of Things is, like, a big buzzword. It's kind of like, you know, social maybe 5 years ago. Like, you go to parties, like, in Silicon Valley, which you should not do, by the way. All those parties are terrible. But you go there, and you're like, hey, what are you doing? They're like, yeah, I'm working on, like, some social stuff. So it's like hashtag strategy, stuff like that. And so a lot of times now you talk to people, and you're like, what are you doing? Oh, I'm doing, like, Internet of Things, just, you know, embedded sensors, just, like, you know, smart thermostats, smart doorknobs, stuff like that. And it's the thing about Internet of Things is that people don't fully understand. We don't like rebooting our computer, right? That's considered painful. Are you going to like rebooting your house? Because that's what's going to happen with the Internet of Things, right? You're going to come in. It's not going to work. You're going to have to hold down the power button, count to five, wait for your house to come back up. It's just totally ridiculous. And the security story is really, this is a technical term, a cartoonish. It's a cartoonish security story. And I think that what's ended up happening is that Internet of Things, that community has not really learned a lot from the web community. Right. So what happened in the web is that the technology came out, everyone's like, this is really, really cool. Then people just started adding these features. Yeah. But they didn't really think about security, and then they kind of backwards patched in security here and there. And the resulting security model that we have is incomprehensible.
Yes.
You know, it's like a lot of times, like, I work with, like, grad students and they say, hey, what'll happen when I put this inside a browser? I'm like, just try it and see. Maybe a dinosaur bone will come out. I don't know. It's a natural science. You know, and so I think a lot of the IoT community, very well intentioned, but they don't fully understand that, like, if everything has an IP address, that means, like, attackers are going to want to try to attack that. I mean, there are already cases of Internet of Things enabled devices sending spam, acting as spam relays. And that's, like, super funny. Like, I don't like receiving spam, but I do like judging people whose refrigerators are sending spam, if that makes sense.
Yes, like, absolutely.
I just think that's funny that, like, I would be talking to a neighbor.
The crowd does too.
Yeah, look at it. Yeah, you're welcome. You've been great, Oslo. Yeah, I just think it's funny that, you know, you could be talking to someone like a neighborhood association meeting. Well, how'd your Saturday go? My refrigerator's sending out spam.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer, you know, and I forgot to install the firewall on it. Psh, you know, right. Head's exploding. That's ridiculous.
Well, and there's all this stuff, like, who thinks about, like, firmware updates or patching?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I don't know if you, Peter Bright on Ars Technica writes about this stuff sometimes,
okay.
And he'll be like, it's ridiculous. Like, we're doing all this Internet of Things, and like you're saying, toasters and doorknobs and everything, and it's like, who's thought about, like, how do we fix stuff that's broken? Does it have an internet connection? Does it push stuff out? Can it get updates? Can it?
Yeah, I think this is actually a big problem with technology in general. And I mean, I think we're all sort of like part of this problem, but it's like we just want to build stuff.
Yeah.
And then we put it out there, and it's like, I want to build something new. And like, particularly students don't seem to understand this. They think they're going to, like, their job as a developer will just to be writing millions of lines of new code every day. Just, I mean, you're emitting semicolons constantly.
Yeah.
You know, you're checking into Git. You're just gone. You never see it again. And, of course, that's not the case. Like, most of your time is spent testing, debugging, maintaining, like, extending pre-existing pieces of code. And the Internet of Things will be no different. Like, I think, once again, I'm a bad person for thinking this is funny, but, like, the first 8 versions of Internet of Things houses will be useless in, like, 10 years. They won't know how to talk to anything. You know, they're going to be using, like, you know, like, a RSS feeds after we've declared that to be Satan.
Right,
you know, we've moved on.
Anymore.
And so I just think it's going to be so funny. They're going to be like all these rich people with all these Internet of Things houses that are just functionally useless.
Right.
You know, it's just a house. It's just a house that has, like, a bunch of, like, radiation emitters in it. So you can just move in and get cancer immediately.
Right,
but,
right.
Like, you can't actually do anything with the house. You couldn't do it with a regular house. So.
What is the end? Will IoT then? I think you just admitted something almost kind of optimistic that later those houses will be smart.
I think so, but I mean, it's sort of like as soon as we figure out, well, let me rephrase that. It's guardedly optimistic in the sense that, like, web security has gotten better, but it's still a clown down, right? So it's still, I mean, it's one of those things where things will sort of get better strictly speaking in a relative sense, but, like, we will get no better in the absolute sense.
Okay.
Like, at no point would, like, Zeus come down from the mountain and he's like, my children, you've done quite well for yourselves on an absolute scale. The security is a 9 out of 10. Like, it's like, you know, like in the web, we've gone from, like, a -3.7.
Yeah.
It's like a -1.1.
Uh-huh.
So, like, the line's going in the right direction.
Right.
But it's still atrocious.
It's still horrible.
Internet of Things is, like, -26 gajillion.
Okay.
So I do think we'll get in sort of the low teens. At some low negative teens,
okay,
I should say. I don't expect it to be sort of like a security lockbox for quite some time.
Lockbox,
yeah.
Yes. So, is there anything? Those are the three things that I picked up from you that are going to destroy my life.
Yeah.
That I know of. Is there anything else that's going to destroy my life that you didn't have time to tell me about?
There's a lot of stuff out there that's probably going to destroy your life. One thing I think is funny is, like, the rise of Node.js.
Uh-huh.
And I know there's a lot of Node partisans out
there.
Here. Yeah, I know. Like I said at the end of my talk, I fully expect to get shanked at any moment. Like, there's just not – I just talk too much. I've been to many communities. I mean, it's not going to end well for me. Like, when you're going to get, like, the Washington Post alert, like, James Mickens has been kidnapped by Node enthusiasts. Like, no one will be surprised. Everyone will have seen it coming. You know, they'll interview you on CNN. I told that guy to stop talking so much. I mean, he just kept on getting interviewed, talking about, you know.
Right.
And so, I get why people are moving to Node because it's, you know, single-threaded. You know, it's sort of easy to reason about sort of the event semantics. But it's so funny that people would take a client-side language, JavaScript, which is sort of widely understood to be, like, a bad idea. Like, yeah. It's widely understood, like, maybe we shouldn't have done that, but oops, it's out there.
Yeah.
You know?
It's too late
and
now.
And then someone's sitting around saying, well, what if we move it to the server side, too?
Right.
Yeah, this will be perfect.
So, which is a step to putting it on my refrigerator.
Yeah, exactly.
So it can send out the spam.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah. That's... Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a really tight event loop. Yeah, to sit out there, too. Constantly sending out those Nigerian Prince emails.
Right, right.
Yeah, so wow. I think Node is... I'll be interested to see what happens in Node. Because I... You know, people always write these very, like, sad essays about the death of the full-stack developer.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, like, those essays have been very popular in the past year. It's like when you hear people write about boxing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like these very sort of, like, emotional sort of, like, you know, there was a day when the right. full-stack developer was the king or the queen of the domain, and now, you know. And so now we're starting to see JavaScript on both the server and the client side, and I think we're going to see the rise again of at least a sort of JavaScript-specific sort of a full-stack developer, which should be interesting. I think that in a certain perspective, that could actually be very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you've got the same runtime on both ends of the wide area, and so that could be very neat. But on the other hand, it's kind of like we're in Lord of the Rings world, and we're saying, like, what if we could speak the Nazgul language on the client and on the server?
Right.
Wouldn't that be amazing? It's like, that would be amazing. That's also what Sauron wants.
Right.
So you have to sort of balance those things
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah. Great. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
What else is... Oslo is a lovely city.
It sure is.
So I've been walking around a little bit.
Is this your first time here?
It's my first time in Oslo.
Wow.
Yeah, in case you don't know, basically during the summer it never gets dark here.
Yeah,
and
never.
So you can just be hanging around... like at midnight,
yeah.
And it's basically like bright outside.
Right.
And I'm actually not sure if this is better or worse for criminality. Because,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of like walking around yesterday
it's
at
like
midnight.
Las Vegas,
you know?
Or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's like, wow, it's so bright out here, I couldn't possibly get mugged. But of course, if I were a criminal, I'd be thinking, come to Oslo, there's a lot of people running
yeah.
around at midnight,
midnight
who
just...
aren't ready to be mugged, I'm going to mug them.
Right, you know? Right.
So that's been pretty entertaining. But yeah, it's very nice. Went on a boat tour
mm-hmm.
a couple days ago, got to see some of the fjords.
Yes.
That was pretty neat.
All you can eat shrimp, 3 hours of shrimp.
Yeah. Oh, one note. Yes,
or
that was
prawns,
very true.
I guess.
Yeah. Well, I think here they call them shrimps, but they put the S on the end.
Oh.
Right. Would you like some shrimps? I said I think so. If that's like the same thing I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
But note to the people who come from America, I was surprised by this. When they say shrimp here, they mean the whole shrimp.
Yeah.
They have not processed this
in no way,
in any way, like this thing. Because like you go to a supermarket in America, you get these shrimp, and they're just like these little like. Like quote marks.
Yeah.
You know, it's
and
just like
tasty.
The essence of the shrimp.
Yeah.
You know, all of the like business ends that do stuff you don't want
right.
to know about and look at things, that's all gone. And so, yeah, so I get on this boat cruise and they're like, yeah, of course, free shrimps. Yeah, it'd be very good for you.
Yeah.
And so I went there and I was like, whoa, okay, that's like
no,
actually
a yeah.
full on shrimp antenna. It's got the little bug eyes, stuff like that. So, I mean, they're tasty, but you
But
do,
it's a lot of work.
You and become closer to your primitive self.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like if they said, we're going to have chicken, and you go over there, and there's beaks and feet. And
yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
That's
yeah,
right. It's just like Jurassic Park out there. Stay safe.
It's a little much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally
yeah, the price of living is also
oh, yeah.
very expensive out here.
Yes.
So I had a moment of weakness, and I went to the TGIF because I was super hungry. It was like
it's open.
Yeah, it's open. I was super hungry, and it was like one of those things where I was totally jet lagged. My body didn't know what time it was.
Yeah,
and you got to feed yourself, and that happened.
I did the exact same.
You're
thing.
You're just gonna have like a diabetic coma. You just
right.
got you got. So I was like, it's a TGIF. They speak English there, maybe.
Yeah.
So I go in there, and
they like Friday, so we can identify.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally, totally. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right, man. They're freedom loving, just like us, at TGIF. And so I went there, and I got chicken fingers and French fries. And I think it cost me like $1 million.
Yeah.
Like I'm a little bit
There's
worried
no
about
idea.
It because I got the bill. And I'm like, oh, like, you know, whatever it was, 280 krona, not that bad. And then I did the conversion in my head. I'm like, that's a mortgage payment.
Yeah.
This,
it's
they weren't that good. Like, I mean, French fries are delicious, don't get me wrong, but they're not mortgage payment French fries. It's like
yeah.
it's like that scene from Pulp Fiction. You know, it's like
$6 price.
Yeah, exactly.
$6 shake. Right?
Yeah, that better be good for a $6 milkshake. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Yeah, we... I was here before, my younger brother and I, we were walking down the street, that big, beautiful street that there's no cars on and there's food
yeah.
everywhere and expensive restaurants. And so we're like, we don't want to spend too much money. We got some nachos. We're like, we'll keep this low key. And then we did the conversion. It was seriously like $40
yeah.
for like a bowl of nachos. And they were not good nachos.
Yeah.
They were like Doritos with like some cheese sprinkled on top.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's interesting because I feel like it's a very nice city. Mm. It is very expensive, but I'd be super entertained if there was, like, some horrible secret that Oslo was hiding, you know, like, beneath sort of, like, this ostensibly very, very shiny and clean exterior. It's like,
right.
Everyone, yeah, I don't know, like, maybe they all own mutants in the basement, you know? They're sort
Could
of
be. Right.
Putting them in, like, mutant-sized treadmills to power the city or something like that. It just seems like it's too perfect.
It is a little bit too perfect. It's similar, I don't know if you've been to Singapore, but there's kind of that same kind
there.
Of... It's like Disneyland-ish, but you're, like, just a little worried. Like, it's like a Twilight Zone, and you're going to find out people are, like, they're not really people or something.
Exactly. So. Yeah, I did some walking around the pier, and they're, like, these beautiful condos and things like this down there. And they look like the layers for James Bond villains. It's like all glass and metal, you know? And I was walking around just like taking pictures, and I could see some of these people who I'm pretty sure are better than me. I just got that feel, like I just immediately got that feeling like you're probably better than me.
I think they have t-shirts that say I'm better than
you. Yeah, exactly. Like an arrow pointing towards you, you know? I could just sort of, I remember I was walking by one place and I saw someone in one of these condos and like, you know, the 85th floor sort of looking down, just sort of like disapprovingly, like, you know, who let this guy in here?
From 85 floors, he could tell.
Oh, yeah.
So much better.
Well, these people have, like, falcon eyes.
Oh,
that's
right.
Another metric along which they're better than
Part
us.
Part of the reason they're better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Falcon-eyed people get lower mortgage rates, so they can buy, like, better apartments.
I am kind of proud of myself. I don't know if you've done, like, I'm pretty bad at learning languages, but I've tried this Duolingo site. So I decided to learn a little Norwegian. And normally, as soon as I do something like that, nobody will actually speak the language to me, and it's a waste of time. I'm walking along, and I see this building, and it says Edderkoppen. And I knew that meant the spider.
Oh, nice.
So it was all worthwhile.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
I knew to stay out of that building.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what's in there, but like, you put a big sign that says the spider on a building, it's probably bad.
Totally,
it wasn't a club. I don't know what...
A club. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Okay, that's right. Yeah, you're chained to a radiator making sweaters. Yeah.
Exactly.
Are you enjoying the club? Are you enjoying the spider? I'm sure that's what they say as they whip you. Right. Are you enjoying the spider?
And then I'm on a treadmill powering the city.
Exactly. It's so well lit here. Wow, it's almost like they trapped a silly foreigner using a club called the Spider.
To light the city all night so we can pick their pockets.
That's right. That's outlandish. That could never happen. Meanwhile, I'll be watching CNN. Have you seen this man? Wandering the well-lit midnight streets of Oslo.
So on that note, I think we've inspired our listeners with a lot of hope.
Yeah, I think
and
so
joy,
too.
And they're going to come visit here.
Yeah, they should definitely come visit here. Don't go to the spider. I think that's probably the one take-home point. I mean, Internet of Things is about it, blah, 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 blah. But just, if you're interested in not being enslaved, don't go to the spider.
Edderkoppen.
Yeah, Edderkoppen. Yeah, exactly. Edderkoppen. This is going to be like one of those Klaatu Vratu Nikto things. Like, is that the, what was that? It was the Eddergoblin? that's not what it was. No, it was the Eddergoblin.
Now I'm going to put them out of business, and they're going to come for me.
Yeah.
Everything was fine. We had great Yelp reviews and everything, and then all of a sudden, phew.
What would be great is if there's some like mom and pop like restaurant called the Eddergoblin. You know, that's totally unrelated. You know, they just serve pizza or whatever. They're like old pensioners, you know.
Yeah.
And they used to do booming business.
Right.
And now all these Americans are like, I heard about you, Eddergoblin.
They're like picketing out front.
Yeah, that's right. Shut down this place, Goblin. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. All right. On that note, let's wrap up. Thanks so much,
James. All right. No worries. Right. See you guys later. Bye.